Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas here back at the helm. I got the table all set. The Cornerstone Show is back in effect. The Sunday morning brunch is about to take place. I'm tongue twisted this morning. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Oh, Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And it's the only thing I got, one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City chef with Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody. Don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark and Moses and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And we got a lot of stuff to get into. Unfortunately, y'all know I'm a little frustrated because my boys came up short, but we got a lot of stuff to jump into just to appease that appetite, man. So, like I said, let me get this thing rolling. A lot of stuff to jump into. Calling in by way of the state of California. You guys know him from the NFL front office show on Tuesday afternoon, Eastern Standard, even though it's Tuesday morning. On the Pacific Standard situation, you got Brian breaking news, Hughes in the building. How are you feeling? Welcome to the brunch.
What is going on, TP? Feeling great. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Ready. We got a lot of different sports topics to get into. I'm pumped up, man. I'm ready to go.
Okay, so first and foremost, we got a situation where the Stanley Cup final is now complete. And first and foremost, I might as well just jump out the window with it already. The Rangers fall short, losing to the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-0 in a Game 7 situation Friday evening in Madison Square Garden. Now, I know a co-host that was here, and knowing that he has situations outside of the kitchen, Mark Mosley is jumping out of his skin. Once again, the Chicago Blackhawks get to the Stanley Cup Final, and they're going simultaneous years, similar to, and this is crazy, and I don't want to set it up like this, but it's looking like it too, similar to the San Francisco Giants in baseball. So they are doing it on the same type of pace, winning it 1 year, relaxing 1 year, winning 1 year, relaxing 1 year, and it's looking like this could be a situation that the Blackhawks could surprise everybody, but Tampa Bay's offense has been playing significant and actually taking care of business in the Eastern Conference. So your thoughts on either the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up with a very significant win Game 7 in New York, or either the situation in the Western Conference where the Chicago Blackhawks are taking care of business and locking up a California team up against the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, TP, you know, what I will say is this. I mean, you're a Rangers fan. You know this, but I'm one of those sports fans that, you know, when momentum or everything's going your way, the last thing you want to hear is, you know, all the stats and everything that would tell you that my team is supposed to win. I just think it's bad juju. And I can remember on Friday, every radio show, every talk show, every major broadcast was talking about how, you know, Ryan Ludwig had basically never lost in Game 7 situations. And, you know, the fact that, you know, the Lightning had no shot whatsoever. And I remember just thinking to myself, you know, I wonder if this is going to, you know, obviously this isn't what causes the loss, but I wonder if this is when the quote-unquote streak will be broken. I know that game was rough, but the Rangers had one hell of a year, and the Lightning, you know, really shocked a lot of people getting as far as they have. As far as the Blackhawks are concerned, you're absolutely right. You can make the same argument, though, about the, you know, I think they're actually probably closer to the Kings, because if you think about the Giants, they never come in as the number one seed. They never come in as the best team heading into the playoffs. The Giants just always hit their form at the right time during the playoffs. So that's the only reason why I'd say they're more the Kings, because when you look at the playoffs over the course of the last 6, 7, 8 years, I think they're more the Kings than the Blackhawks, only because, you know, the Blackhawks are pretty consistent and usually going in as a pretty high seed. And the usually every other year that the Blackhawks win, at least recently, the Los Angeles Kings have been the winner the other years. But, you know, Patrick Kane, you know, easily one of the best players in the NHL, proved once again, you know, I know the Blackhawks, you know, a lot of people are making, you know, making a lot of you know, a huge deal over, you know, the line change and how they switched up the line. But I just think that, you know, you always hear about Crosby and Ovechkin and some of these other guys. I don't think Patrick Kane gets nearly enough credit. He's a fantastic player, been a fantastic player, and the team as a whole is really good. And like you said, Ty, they find a way to win in these situations. Even when they have their back up against the wall, they have the experience. This is a team that's poised to once again win it all. And I mean, when you look at them and Tampa Bay has definitely been kind of a Cinderella team. I mean, if you remember last year, they got absolutely swept right out of the playoffs, I believe, by Montreal. I don't have it in front of me, so if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me. But they were swept out of the playoffs last year. So this is not a team. This is a team that is mentally tough, but this is not a team that's familiar with this stage. The Blackhawks are familiar with this stage. So I would definitely say, at least right now, mental edge, if you will, the Blackhawks are prepared for this. The Blackhawks, in no way, shape, or form, are going to get flustered or bothered or, you know, nervous or anything like that, because this is a veteran-laden team that is, as you mentioned, this is something that they're used to. They're used to making these runs, and they're used to the spotlight, and they're used to the big-time pressure. But I love the athleticism on Tampa Bay, which I'm sure you got to see firsthand. I think it's going to I really do. I think it's going to make for an exciting NHL Finals for sure.
Well, the interesting thing about – okay, I'll start with the Rangers situation. You're right, and I think it's how do I word it more or less? I think it's a situation where the analysts or the people that speak on the sports, they have to talk about the numbers and put that into perspective, how Henrik was actually 7-0 in Game 7 situations. But I'm not comfortable with it, being a personal fan of the situation. I don't want to hear it, because it's always that nerve-wracking situation where you feel like they're going to come out and win that. They're going to snap the streak. That's actually bulletin board material as they're in the locker room getting ready to go out there and play or going through those intermissions saying, hey, we got to defeat them. And watching that game, all game long, Henrik was actually being attacked way more than Bishop was. The Rangers basically couldn't get the Rangers couldn't get the Lightning out of their zone, and the Rangers weren't having too many attacks on Bishop, which actually let him made him be more safe. Me personally, before the playoffs had began, I wanted to go with Cam Talbot. Everybody in the New York area was like, "Ty, you're crazy." This, that, and the third. I'm like, listen. Cam Talbot is the reason why the Rangers were marked as the best team in hockey before the playoffs started. Forget the finals. And the defense was strong. But then Zuccarello went down, and, you know, you had the situation where Marty St. Louis kind of fell apart. But even though they were coasting up against good teams, going up against the Penguins, also going up against the Capitals, doing what they needed to do and actually having deficits and you know, certain series as well up against the Capitals and having to fight their way back, getting to a Game 7 up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, knowing that they were the younger team, faster, so on and so forth, they have to put forth some type of effort to slow that offense down. They couldn't. And knowing that they had a 2-day window of rest getting back to New York, they didn't use that home court advantage to their advantage. And everything fell apart in the third period. Literally, it was a 0-0 game all the way to the second intermission, and then the first goal that Henrique let get by him basically just squeezed right through his two knees. He basically tried to, you know, squeeze the puck, and the puck got through him. And then the second goal actually put icing on the cake, and it just basically was a gutless feeling just watching this all break apart on a very good season for the New York Rangers. Now, looking at what the Blackhawks had to do, and interesting, both of these teams, being the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Chicago Blackhawks, both of them had to do it on the road. North Tampa Bay had to come from Florida, get up into New York and win the game 7, and Chicago went to Anaheim and took care of business in front of the Anaheim crowd and stunning them. But they did it in a different form. They were up 2-0 after the first intermission. So you know that the locker room conversation has to be different, trying to inspire these guys to get in the game. They scored a goal into the second period, but they're still facing a 4-1 deficit going into the second intermission. So that's a tough uphill battle in itself. They actually ended up scoring 2 goals in the third, but I think the damage was already done a little too much, and they actually put a goal in the third period to kind of ice the situation. So Chicago once again back into a Stanley Cup final. I think this is very dangerous because I think Jonathan Toews is actually building more confidence as he gets to this situation where a lot of people actually try to throw shade at him and saying that he might be the goalie behind the eight ball, if you will, and he actually did as much as he could to help these guys move forward and get to another Stanley Cup final, where a lot of people thought Anaheim would actually take this, how strong they came out of the gate up against the Blackhawks. So it was different type of karma in both conference finals, but you got to tip your hat to Tampa Bay and Chicago, the Blackhawks. I think this is going to be a very interesting and good Stanley Cup final. And the interesting thing on both sides, I think this is going to be a heavily offensive battle both sides of the puck. So get ready, people. Tampa Bay and Chicago, I don't think they'll disappoint, but I am extremely pissed off being this close to getting to a Stanley Cup final. It was a good season, a good ride, but once I was hearing things like, oh, Henry, you know, he's not viewing the puck well and so on and so forth, it's like, why take the guy that was hot in front of the, in between the pipes out, and of course Henrique is one of the more higher paid goalies, if not the highest paid goalie in NHL. They're going to get him out there, so I understand the schematics of, you know, why they have him out there, but I was liking how Cam was playing. I like how Cam was playing. I think also the situation, McDonough said, he said he was playing on a broken foot and we needed him out there also. There's a lot of situations the Rangers had to come out overcome, but no need for excuses. Tampa Bay won, moved on. Tampa and Chicago moving into a Stanley Cup final. I definitely don't think they'll disappoint. Anything that you'd like to address before we get away from that?
No, I think you're right, Ty. You know, like I said, I mean, ultimately to me, I just look at the experience that Chicago is bringing into this finals against Tampa Bay. But when you look at, when you look at this series from a fan's perspective, let's say you're somebody who's never watched hockey before, you've never watched the game, you can't get, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better visual finals than Chicago-Tampa Bay. Two teams that have superstars on their team, two teams that get up and down the ice incredibly fast, two offensive powerhouses. I mean, it's going to make for great TV. Make no mistake about it. It's going to make for fantastic TV. Like I said, my only concern is, and once again, you never know until you get there, but if Tampa Bay gets smacked in the mouth game one, can they rebound? We know that Chicago can. They've done it before in the finals. This is Tampa Bay's really first run at any kind of significance, or really even winning in the playoffs, if you will. So, you know, that's what's going to be important to me is when the chips are on the table, now that they're here, how much does that experience play in? Because we know Chicago has a ton of experienced players.
Right. And knowing Tampa Bay has experience there too, they actually have the former captain of the New York Rangers of last year, where they got to the Stanley Cup final with Callahan, and this is the second year in a row that the Rangers have gone up against a player that was on their roster previously and ended up knocking them off. Last year, it was on the Los Angeles Kings, and that actually was a situation with Gabby on their team. Being Gaborik, and now the situation where, you know, Callahan is on the other side and ends up defeating the Rangers and moving on to a Stanley Cup final. It would be great to see Callahan actually get the cup, but I don't want to take too much away from Mark either. I know Mark will probably be pissed off to hear me say that. But either way, I don't even want to take too much away from Mark, because I know I was out there last time Chicago won the Stanley Cup, and it was crazy. Mark had us in the midst of some crazy stuff out there. So each city probably respectively could use it. Tampa Bay, not seeing this for a long time. And knowing Marty St. Louis just left there too, and that actually, you know, just stunned me how the way he was playing. I could really dig into him. But I'm going to let him live in the kitchen. I don't want to blame anything on one man, either him or Henrik. I'm going to go down with the team regardless. Even though Henrik, I really think Cam should have been on goalie for the run that he put us on while you were out for 6 to 7 weeks. 6 to 7 weeks, and the Rangers got to the number one overall seed and got the President's Cup. I just don't agree with that. I don't. But let's move. We got a lot of interesting stuff that's going on. Interesting in the kitchen. We got coaches situated in the NBA. Before I want to talk about the NBA Finals being set. Before we get that situation set, I want to save that kind of like the entree here. First and foremost, the Thibodeau firing is already mind-boggling and questionable, and they are already after Iowa State's head coach and former Chicago Bulls player Fred the Mayor Hoiberg. Now, they are already trying to throw a 5-year deal at him, and it looks like this was already set in stone on how they were going to come after Fred Hoiberg. And to me, I'm basing this personally, Sports City, and I try to hide my personal agendas, personal opinions. I respect Fred Hoiberg. I respected him as a basketball player. I liked him as a basketball player. I respect him as a coach at Iowa State. I really think that this is a step down in the coaching perspective, and not to say that Chicago can't come out and play good basketball next year, not to say that the Bulls can't come out and shock people, but from what Thibodeau has been able to do with all of the interactions that's been happening with Chicago, moves, and more than likely the injuries that they face all the way from Derrick Rose being out so many games to Pau Gasol being out in his postseason run, they go and get a college coach to replace him that really his resume is just being started. And now the Pelicans situation, they get rid of Monty Williams. They got to their first postseason play in Pelican history, and they go after Alvin Gentry, who, has an interesting resume. I'm not going to say great. He doesn't have a great resume. But him being in, you know, with several teams in the NBA, he's never really gotten these guys to the pinnacle either. So I think it's a situation where both teams have made interesting decisions going after both of these head coaches. One, Alvin Gentry going to New Orleans with the Pelicans. That's interesting enough. And Fred Hoiberg coming from college, even though he had an interesting run this year, the Iowa State Cyclones played great basketball all regular season. They got into the postseason in the Big Dance and were the biggest upset in the dance. They lost in the first round. And everybody was talking about how Iowa State was a big letdown. And I don't know if the writing was already on the wall. He probably knew something, but this is interesting enough. Ryan, your thoughts on both situations. I'll let you one by one it, and we do have a chef in the building, but spread your love on the situation first with Fred Hoiberg in Chicago and also Gentry in New Orleans.
Well, let me start off by saying with Hoiberg that I mean, anybody who comes in here and disagrees with what you just said is absolutely ludicrous and crazy. I mean, there's no way to disagree with, well, I think the Chicago Bulls are taking a step back or a step down, moving away from Tom Thibodeau. There's just not. The bottom line is outside of putting Greg Popovich as your next coach, you'd be really hard-pressed to find a more well-respected coach in the NBA, than Tom Thibodeau. But here's the problem, Ty. You have to also understand that we've seen this movie play out before. You know, talented coach, players like him, and gets uprooted and replaced by a lesser-known name that the management group believes that they can control. I mean, this to me looks like the San Francisco 49ers all over again with Jim Harbaugh. Tom Thibodeau obviously had some kind of beef with management, and just like in San Francisco, behind his back while he was still hired, they were talking to Hoiberg, trying to set up a deal, which to me is just utterly rude. And everything that they've, how they've went about their business, being Chicago, to me has been totally wrong. If you knew you were going to fire him, why wait 2.5 weeks after you're out of the playoffs to announce it? You know, why do that? Give this man the respect and the opportunity that he deserves to go after, you know, the Magic job, to go after, the Orlando job, to go after, you know, the Denver job, to go after some of these other job vacancies if that's what he should so choose. You basically handicap him. You know, once again, I understand he's Tom Thibodeau. There's a team out there that may fire their current head coach to consider him when you consider what he's done in 5 years in Chicago. But I do believe that the Chicago Bulls did him no favors. Absolutely not. They went about this to me totally the wrong way. From the I don't care who you hire as the next coach. I'm not going to bash Hoiberg. I agree with you, Ty. I mean, anybody who follows Thibodeau, you have huge shoes to fill. Huge shoes to fill. And it doesn't matter who the coach is unless you bring in a proven commodity. And so, you know, what I would say is you put an incredible amount of pressure on Hoiberg, one. Two, no matter how this works out, Ty, Chicago is always going to have pie on their face because of the way that this worked out. Basically, you let one of the top 2, 3, 4, 5 coaches who coach right now, I'm not even going to say in the NBA, who coach right now, walk because you couldn't settle your differences, which in a lot of people would say the same thing about San Francisco with Jim Harbaugh. So, let the front office have their control. Let them dictate how the situation is going to play out. Let them decide, you know, who's going to be the coach. But if the ship sinks, just make sure that you go down with the proverbial basketball team, which is capitalized basically as the Titanic. You know, here's what I know about Hoiberg, and I don't know as much as you know, Ty, because, you know, I watch some college basketball, but I don't watch a ton. I know he was Iowa State's head coach, pretty successful there. I also know he has a heart condition that he just had surgery on in April, and you're talking about this guy coming and replacing Tom Thibodeau in one of the most hostile environments, and yes, I'm talking about how the fans are going to react to him. I just don't think it's a great situation for him. I can think of plenty of other high-profile head coaches that have come from college that have not had a lot of success. Look at John Calipari, not one playoff win. Rick Pitino, not one playoff win. So to think that these guys like Donovan and Hoiberg are going to come and rescue the franchise, I think is unrealistic. I know you have to look somewhere else to find that next diamond in the rough, but I am a firm believer, you know, and I could be wrong, but I'm a firm believer that I would rather look at NBA assistants than college coaches, because I think the games are just too vastly different.
I agree, and you actually woke me up to the situation of thinking about the Thunder situation, because Billy Donovan is also another college coach. And an interesting firing in itself in Oklahoma City as well, getting rid of Brooks after having a season over 500 as well. Thibodeau went over 500 and actually pushed the team that's in the NBA Finals right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers, to a 2-1 deficit in their series, and then LeBron got that buzzer beating situation to even it up, and they didn't look back up against the Chicago Bulls. I really don't know which way to go with the coaching situation with Hoiberg, especially with his health situation. Knowing that, A, you don't know what's going to be around in Chicago because they're talking a lot of people are talking about watching that thing blow up. So if Derrick Rose isn't there, he's going to be working with another young guard to basically be his extension out there on the floor. Or if they get rid of Joakim Noah, they're going to look to have another defensive anchor in the paint because Powell isn't the best of defensive big men in the league. And so I know they're going to be attacking him. So it's going to be interesting to see how they piece this together. This is actually in Hoiberg's situation. I actually just shake my head at the firing in Chicago of Thibodeau because Thibodeau is a great coach, one of the best defensive minds in the game, and having to deal with everything that he's had to deal with in all five of his seasons of being there. I don't know how they look to it being better with Hoiberg getting there and Hoiberg not having a head coaching situation in the league yet. I mean, he's played in the NBA for several seasons, but he hasn't been a coach yet. So knowing that he's dealing with younger guys coming out of the, college situation, and knowing that he just dealt with a college situation down here in Iowa State, I mean, it'd be interesting enough to see Chicago get back to this situation or get to a final. I mean, I don't want to just totally just throw them under the bus and say that they won't get there, but I think their better shot would have been with Thibodeau. Now, and looking at Chicago's history, this is the same organization that told Michael Jordan that they're not bringing back Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson, and really went outside of their way to get rid of Scottie Pippen, send him to Houston, and tell Phil we're going to, move on past you and expected Mike to stay there. And Mike ended up retiring on top, knocking down the jump shot. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of fitting to watch that situation go down. And it's like, why do organizations do this? Like, why do, all across the sport board, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, if they have a little difference, they don't really see eye to eye. They don't let the coach really do what the coach wants to do on the sideline. They kind of want to have him be, a puppet or, and they have their differences. As soon as they lose anywhere in the postseason or interesting run in the season, they get rid of them or say that we have a rift or we mutually parted ways or stuff like that. It's just extremely questionable because then you're now putting your team that's in – postseason perspective on the rebuild. And it's like, why? When everything actually looks good, it actually gives the team more motivation to play stronger for their coach that they fell short on. I think that's how I look to say, i.e. for your San Francisco 49ers, to throw that out there, or the Chicago Bulls situation, or the Oklahoma City Thunder, who had to try and survive with Kevin Durant being out over 50 games this season. So I'm just baffled by this situation. At least Hoiberg, coming out of college, getting a pretty tough job. I do agree with you. The Chicago market can chew him up, but he's been out there. He played for the Bulls, so he knows what it's going to take. Hopefully he's successful. I mean, he's been bounced all around from going from, the Minnesota Timberwolves front office and getting the job down in Iowa State. We'll see. I do want to get the chef in the building and see how they feel about the situation or what dish they would like to address, though. Calling in by way of the state of Arizona, the co-host of the Sports City Food Fight, Ignacio Silva. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good this morning. It's a great morning out here in Phoenix. It's a little cool, 80-something, before we get up to like 110 today. So just trying to get this brunch in before the heat hits.
I hear you. I'm not built for that Arizona, California sun. You can ask Brian. I come out there when it's cold. At least to you guys, it's cold. It's beautiful to me. Your thoughts on the interesting situation in the coaching world in the NBA, and then I'm going to jump into the NBA Finals on how everything is set too. But one in Chicago with Hoiberg, they're trying to finalize the situation on a 5-year deal for him, and down in New Orleans, they actually have Alvin Gentry, a journeyman coach, if you will, in the NBA, going down there and trying to make something happen with Anthony Davis, a.k.a. the Brow, and the youngsters there with Tyreek Evans and such. But we'll see how this pans out. But your thoughts?
I think the Alvin Gentry situation in New Orleans is interesting. I know Alvin Gentry from his Phoenix days, and he never really had a star or anyone to that caliber of Anthony Davis. So it'd be interesting to see how he can coexist with him. At least the market that they're in is not a great market like an L.A. or New York or even a Miami market. It's New Orleans. It's not the hugest market in the world, and they're more concerned about the Saints in there than they are the Pelicans, even though the Pelicans had a good playoff first round. It looked like they, you know, gave everything they had, and they're on the rise. But I just think that's an interesting situation to look forward to. As it pertains to the Bulls and Tom Thibodeau, that was just, you know, like you guys have iterated, it wasn't the smartest move at all by the Bulls. I mean, the guys had to deal with injury after injury, especially his main star, who just played his first full playoff since getting hurt in 2012. I mean, so, and the guy's still going to the playoffs. So, obviously, that wasn't the smart move. The even dumber move, I guess you could say, would be bringing in a guy who's medically had problems into a league where this team has perennially been going to the playoffs and winning, and now the reason you got rid of the last head coach was because he didn't win the championship. So bringing in this head coach, he needs to win a championship. I definitely don't like that as a front office excuse. Oh, well, you know, they were good in the playoffs and they were good, but they never won the championship. It doesn't make any sense to me. Because now the next guy you bring in is pretty much on the pedestal of you have to win a championship or you're getting fired. Just because, you know, this guy had a perfect or a great resume as it pertains to the Bulls and Tom Thibodeau in the regular season and in the playoffs. They were making it. They weren't getting bounced by the out in the first round every single year. They were making it, you know, first round, second round, third round, what have you. You know, Tom Thibodeau, well, you know, doesn't have a great record in the playoffs, but he was winning. So, obviously not a championship. But you set up Heiberg. I don't want to say his last name incorrectly. You set up the Iowa State coach, you know, pretty much for failure without taking this team to the NBA Finals and winning a championship. That's a failure from here on out. So his whole career is pretty much downtrodden by, you know, winning a championship. I mean, every coach is, but his is highlighted by that now. You're following a guy like, you know, we can reiterate what Tom Thibodeau's done, but you're following him, and the reason they got rid of him was for not winning a championship. So I think that situation is going really, really, really south really fast. And, you know, similar to the San Francisco situation, we might see a lot of those players not necessarily retire but leave. We know we've been hearing the rumblings of trading players and things like that, and Joakim Noah and Rose's injuries, and that's an easily a good excuse to get rid of him. So we may see this team implode and maybe going into a full rebuild mode, but I'm just not excited for what I see in Chicago's future.
Okay. Brian, anything that you'd like to address before we move away from the coaching situation?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate coming back to me, Ty. There is something that I have to address, and I think that, you know, for the listeners, I think it's paramount to know this. You know, we've talked about, you know, Alvin Gentry, which, you know, I think is a good enough hire. I think they brought in an offensive-minded guy with an up-tempo offense in order to try and retain Anthony Davis. I really like Scott Stiles in Orlando. You know, I think he's a really good coach. I think he's proven in the past that he can take a club that's a 21 ball team, and even in his first year, if you look at history, you know, he can double that win total. So I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good fit for Orlando. But as good as these two guys are, and guys, I hope this causes you to think, watching the Western Conference Final and watching – people ask Mark Jackson, how do you feel when the Golden State Warriors just won the Western Conference Final and seeing that all the players not run to Steve Kerr but run to Mark Jackson, high-fiving and him saying, I'm incredibly proud, and just how humble he was, because I'd be like, hey, I'm pissed. I built the car, but I don't get to drive it. As incredibly humble as he is, you know what? I got to tell you guys, you know what, even if you don't hire the guy, I'm incredibly disappointed that so many NBA teams have had job vacancies and this man has not even gotten an interview. I'm sorry. The only guy that you, in my mind, you could even consider hiring before a guy like Tom Thibodeau, if you don't want to go offensive, you know, if you don't want to go defensive-minded, is a guy like Mark Jackson. Look what he built in the state of California. You know, you look at the Golden State Warriors, and once again, I'm not giving him all the credit, but remember, he's the guy that's helped mold these guys, Klay Thompson, you know, Steph Curry, taught them how to become, you know, true NBA players, taught these guys, you know, what it's going to take in order to succeed, had 50-plus wins in year one, went to the playoffs, and because, you know, there was a difference of opinion, he lost his job. And all I'm saying is this, we all know, even though there was a difference of opinion, that Tom Thibodeau will be employed. I don't care what anybody thinks. I've heard the, you know, well, there's only, you know, one or two jobs open right now, and he hasn't been interviewed. He's the type of coach that somebody will get fired so that you can grab him as a coach. I think Mark Jackson is also that coach that nobody talks about, that nobody gives the credit to, that nobody mentions his name when you see these job openings and vacancies. And you know what? I felt like that the moment I seen the Western Conference final go final and seen all those players run over him. You know what? And the bottom line is, in a sport like the NBA, when you only have five guys on the floor at any one time, it's not like football where there's 20, you know, where you have 11 guys. It's not like baseball, you know, where you got nine guys. Basketball has the fewest number of individuals in any team sport. It's so important that the coach is able to connect with his players. And I think Mark Jackson has proven that he can do that with the youngest of superstars and handle emotions and egos and all that. And I just think it's time that this guy, you know what, whether he gets the job or not, I'd like to hear this guy's name at least thrown into the ring when we're hearing names like Hoiberg and Donovan and Styles. This guy deserves to have his name thrown in there and at least interviewed.
Hey, Brian. Sorry, Ty, I don't mean to cut you off, but I have to ask Brian, on that note, do you think that it's the front office is saying we need to give these younger guys a shot because we know Mark Jackson can take a team to the playoffs, but he can't win a ship. We know Tom can take them to the playoffs, but he can't win a ship. Let's just see if these guys can win, these younger guys can win. If not, Tom Thibodeau and Mark Jackson are still going to be on the shelf. Is that? Do you think that's part of the reasoning?
No, not at all. And I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that, Nacho. But the bottom line is Mark Jackson is younger than half the guys that got hired. He's in better health, obviously, than Hoiberg. He's got more experience at the NBA level than Donovan and Hoiberg. He's, you know, you could make an argument that he was the number one candidate available. Number one candidate available. Even Alvin Gentry, you know what? I like him well enough as a coach, but he's a 500 coach. You know, there's a reason why it didn't work out for him, you know, at his last stop. There's a reason why it didn't work out for him as the Los Angeles Clippers head coach, and he had young talent. Remember, this is when the Clippers were drafted in the lottery every single year. I think what happens is very similar to the NFL. It's a good old boys club, and they all talk. And you know what? The only reason, in my opinion, Tom Thibodeau hasn't gotten a call yet, Mark Jackson hasn't gotten a call yet, is because owners and front office personnel talk and say, hey, this guy's a total pain in the ass. He wants full control. He does this. Hey, you wouldn't believe it. He does that. And so teams, I think, shy away from that because they don't want animosity inside the building per se. But you know what? I'm sorry. If you look at the greatest coaches of all time, not just basketball, just the greatest coaches of all time, you know what? Every one of them has one thing in common, and that's an insatiable urge, desire to win at all costs. They're all perfectionists. They all want things their own way. And you know what? When they don't get things their own way, they're a pain to deal with. And all I'm saying is if you want to be a winning club, you know, like Ty just mentioned with, we're going to get rid of Phil Jackson. And when they got rid of him, if memory serves me right as a Lakers fan, he went on to still have a pretty successful coaching career. It's not like he couldn't coach. You know what? Sometimes we have to act like big boys and put our personalities to the side. And if the guy is successful on the court, you know what, unless the players hate him, I mean, let's be honest, the NBA, you know, it really is dictated by the stars. But I think these guys just got blackballed. I mean, bottom line, In my opinion, there's nothing anyone can say that would change to me that the two best coaching options available this offseason, and once again, Chicago screwed Tom Thibodeau by not releasing him when they first exited the playoffs and waiting an additional 2.5 weeks. But even with that said, those two men are by far the two best coaching options this offseason. Nobody is going to tell me that Billy Donovan or Hoiberg or Scott Stiles or insert name here, Alvin Gentry, that these guys are better coaching options. As I said, Billy Donovan was one hell of a coach at Florida. Hoiberg was a fantastic coach with the Cyclones. But as I mentioned earlier, Nacho, I can give you other fantastic NCAA coaches like Rick Pitino and John Calipari. Both coached in the NBA. Both never won a playoff game. They never won a playoff game. So just because you are good at the collegiate level does not mean you are going to be good at the NBA level, because it is a different game. You can't recruit, you know, top five lottery picks, two or three of them every single year, which is what you're able to do when you're at a Kentucky or a Louisville or a Florida or insert high-profile team here. And they're in for a stark reality check when they realize, you know what, with salary cap restrictions, with the fact that we're drafting a number 12 and we're basically getting, you know, the seventh best point guard in this game, you have to actually coach. And that's when reality is going to set in.
I agree wholeheartedly. And in looking at this Scott Stiles situation, it's like an off-the-board situation, because looking at what happened in Orlando, I mean, they're a young team that he gets to mold himself. So I'm not really putting Scott's situation in this. I think that's actually a great fit for him because of everything that he's dealt with while he was with Milwaukee, and also, you know, with the
Pistons. He was a player there.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I wasn't jumping on you. I agree with you. It is a good situation, and he was a player there, so he understands the culture. My point was just simply, you know, when you look across the landscape of the NBA, all these guys that have been hired, whether it was a good fit or bad fit, how are these guys not even interviewed? I mean, before Stiles was hired, before Gentry were hired, Thibodeau was available. You're telling me you're not going to at least kick the tires on that vehicle?
I don't know nothing about these front offices. I don't know how they think. I agree with you. I'm not even running away from it. Looking at Alvin Gentry's situation, listen to this, right? Alvin Gentry is coach 12 seasons as a head coach in four different teams with the Miami Heat, the Detroit Pistons, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Phoenix Suns, right? Four seasons out of the 12, he coached over 500 or better. So that means eight seasons out of his 12, he was under 500, right? Out of the 12 seasons, this is crazy, people. Out of the 12 seasons of him being a head coach, he made the postseason twice. Twice. 1999 and 2010. So his gap was an 11-year gap that he's seen postseason play with the team that he's coached. Otherwise, he's just been a guy running along the sideline. And knowing that he's probably been limited to talent, so on and so forth, this isn't a guy that is used to winning. And you're putting him in a situation with a whole bunch of youngsters down there in New Orleans. Like, so that's interesting enough. I do understand that Mark Jackson situation, and knowing that, you know, Steve Kerr and his winning pedigree as a player and what he could instill in these guys, I think he probably instilled more in Steph Curry and Clay to just shoot the ball because he was a shooter and let these guys, you know, freely play their games. And also Draymond Green, too. I can't overlook Draymond Green by any means. I think he basically let these guys kind of play their own style of play, and it actually worked like crazy for Golden State. However, looking at the Chicago situation, I think this is an uphill battle for Fred Hoiberg, especially if they start moving pieces. I think if they keep the pieces there, he's just going to have to instill his operation and see how they work it and deal with this five-year stint that they have with him. I clearly agree with you, Brian. Thibodeau should be considered for one of those jobs. Mark Jackson should be considered for one of those jobs. These guys know it. And all of the years that Mark Jackson and Thibodeau have coached, these guys have postseason experience. These guys have made the postseason every year, if not every year. They probably missed one out of the two between the two of these guys. And you're bringing in coaches that are used to losing or don't even have an NBA resume right now. So Well, Hoiberg actually played NBA ball. I'm not taking anything away from him as a player. I'm talking about as a head coach. It is extremely questionable to think about how these front offices want to puppeteer a lot of these coaches, because once the coach actually goes against them, it's like, you know, good riddance. And I think that's the same spell that happened to Mark Jackson, even though there was a little rift between the coaching staff. It wasn't him in the front office, really. It actually got to the front office, and that's the reason why they removed Mark Jackson. It's questionable in itself.
I was just gonna say, Ty, you've already kind of hit it, but you know, I look at, when you look at the stereotypical hot commodity right now, you know, like Billy Donovan, like, you know, Hoiberg, you know, everybody says, oh, these guys can be successful anywhere. You know, they're great coaches. You know, I kind of think of the Boston Celtics and Brad Stevens. Remember how successful he was as a college coach 3 years ago? He has a 396 win percentage and zero playoff wins. And I just, right. Once again, he could have went anywhere in the country. He could have just named his destination in college, and he could have been the next head coach. Unbelievable, the accomplishments at the collegiate level. But once again, it just goes, just another example of it proving that the games are not the same. And it takes more than just skill players in order to win. And that's, like I said, once again, at the NBA level, you have to coach. You have to really coach. You know, everybody now praises Popovich, but, you know, 20 games into the season when he's resting three-fifths of his starters and all the fans are going, oh, what the hell, I didn't come to watch, you know, a bunch of D-League players, you know, start the game, and the only guy you know is Thiago Splitter, and he's not even a superstar, and you're going, oh, I don't get it, but every year they seem like they're in the, you know, the playoffs or finals. Because he gets it. He gets the big picture. He understands that, you know what, the entire season is a chess match. And he gets it. He understands what it is that he's trying to accomplish, the big picture, and a lot of these guys just don't.
Okay. Like I said, I want to see how this pans out, but it literally, they literally, like pull the trigger on these coaches so quickly. I think they want to have these guys already set in the system and seeing how they're going to work with the organization and meet with these players and actually try to build a rapport with them. But questionable decisions. I say questionable. I won't, you know, totally, you know, well, I want to personally throw them under the bus, but it's questionable. Now, the NBA Finals are set, people, and we've already actually let some of it out of the bag, but that actually brought for the good talk and these dishes that we're throwing out to you. The Cleveland Cavaliers took care of their business in sweeping the Atlanta Hawks, and we're waiting to see how it's going to pan out, but more than likely we already knew how it was going to go down. Houston fought back and won a game in that series. They got a game, and, you know, Golden State ended up, you know, taking care of business in that situation. So now we have a final set with two point guards that have extreme offense, with Kyrie Irving pending on his health situation because he has an injury that's nagging him, but his crossover jump shot game is crazy and lethal, going up against Steph Curry with his crossover jump shot game is extremely lethal. You have to worry about this. But we have a former MVP going up against the league MVP this year. Very interesting, with LeBron James going up against Steph Curry. You know, everything is set here. Klay Thompson, however, is probably the more interesting story in this. There's a lot of wild cards on both sides of the fence, one for Cleveland and extremely situation for the Golden State Warriors with Draymond Green. I think Draymond Green's name is probably more than a wild card, but the way that this guy's been playing all throughout the regular season and also in the postseason, he's been a great extension outside of Klay and Steph. And knowing that there's already trash being talked between LeBron and Draymond, this is setting up for a very interesting matchup, and Draymond actually has the size to not get totally bullied by LeBron, but this is going to be something to watch. But Clay is the very interesting situation I'm talking about because in the last game up against Houston, he pumped fake on a jump shot, and Trevor Ariza actually went for the jump shot, and there was no attention to it. Everybody that's jumping is saying, oh, Trevor Ariza tried to take Steph out in game four, and then game five he comes around and trying to do something to Clay. I think both plays, when Steph first fell in game four, Steph was doing a defensive move and jumped over Ariza's back, and he fell on his neck shoulder area. And then the pump fake worked for Clay. I mean, the pump fake is designed to make somebody jump so you can either get around them or get a better shot. And he didn't. There was no attention for him to kick his knee. You don't even see his knee go as a kick. His knee was in perfect position to nail Clay right in the side of his head. And Clay basically fell out. He's dealing with concussion symptoms. They tried to, and this is the interesting thing about the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr, you're lucky that he didn't go out there and play because he would have been playing with a concussion, and that would have been interesting in itself. He comes out of the locker room trying to help out because Iguodala had gotten to a situation, and then he starts leaking blood from his ear. You mean to tell me that this dude just literally got knocked? Okay, I'm getting beside myself. I'm actually putting personal opinion out there. You should have arrested him. But now he's dealing with concussion symptoms, but they're saying that Clay will play game one. I wouldn't want to see it played without Clay like that because then it's like they're missing one of their hired guns in the midst of this NBA final. But I want to hear how you guys feel about this with the Cleveland Cavaliers visiting the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors have the better season record, so they have home court advantage here. I'll go to you first, Ryan, and I'll go to Nacho second. This is your home state, even though this isn't your team, the Golden State Warriors hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Thanks, Ty. Well, I mean, this matchup is very, very interesting, Ty, for a couple reasons. Number one, we have two NBA coaches who've never coached a game in the finals, have no playoff experience before this year, you know, and no disrespect to Blatt. I know he was European champion last year, but obviously not quite the same thing. He's trying to call timeouts when he didn't have them. So, I mean, to me, this is really a tale of these teams are being powered by their superstars. You look at Steph Curry, everybody talks about, you know, in the playoffs, defense really matters, you know, and that's when, you know, that's when everything gets turned up and that's when you see what it's really like. Well, as unbelievable as Steph Curry was during the regular season, he's actually been better in the playoffs. You look at his field goal percentage, you look at his three-point shooting, his free throws, he's actually been a better player in the postseason than he was in the regular season when he won the MVP trophy. LeBron James, I've already said this, and you know what? I know I had some people disagree with me, but I'll say it again, Ty. I believe it. Depending on the health of Kyrie Irving, you could make the argument that this is by far the best that LeBron James he's ever been. This is the best version of LeBron we've ever seen. And I say that for this. You have a rookie head coach, you know, at least when he was in Miami, he had a coach, you know, he had a coach with experience. He's basically the coach. I mean, how many times have we heard a play be called in the huddle, you know, before they go to the floor and he'll change it on the floor, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. And we know that's happened because when he hit that game-winning jumper against Chicago, he was originally supposed to take the ball out, which, by the way, it's got to be one of the all-time dumbest things I've ever heard. I don't care how good of a passer he is. To take your best player and have them inbound the ball is just stupid. Okay? Blatt, I hope you're listening. That is stupid. Now, when you get down to the nuts and bolts of this, there's a couple things that scare me about this matchup if I'm Cleveland. Number one, go back and look at the stats against the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta was averaging 32 three-pointers a game. In game number four, just a couple stats I pulled up for you guys. In game number four, a company called StatTrax, they're the ones that basically cover you know, cover odd statistics for NBA. 30 of the 32 three-pointers were uncontested. Okay? Let that sink in. 30 of the 32 three-pointers were uncontested against the Hawks. And so I can't help but think to myself, if you allow Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and even Hudson for that matter, to have wide-open three-pointers, you cannot expect them to go 5 for 32 like Atlanta did in Game 1. And so here's what's really going to be interesting, Ty, to me. I don't think that there is a single player on Golden State's roster, not David Lee, not Iguodala, not insert NBA player, Green, not whoever that player is. There is nobody on their roster that can cover LeBron James. And on the other side, I don't really think they have anybody to cover Steph Curry. Look, I know we've seen in the past LeBron James cover, Derrick Rose with great effectiveness. And I think he could cover Steph Curry. But you know what the bottom line is? He cannot exert all his energy on the defensive side of the ball trying to cover Steph Curry and then be expected to score 40 points a game, which is basically what he's going to have to do to win this series. And so for me, Ty, when I look at this series, you know, we've seen, I believe the kid's name was Hudson, but we've seen the kid on the Warriors, you know, that could be the quote-unquote third wheel pass Green as far as a shooter, a scorer, another guy that can make baskets. And I just think to myself, do the Cleveland Cavaliers have enough? If they're all healthy, if Kevin Love's here, if Kyrie Irving is 100%, maybe you say yeah. But you know what? You know as well as I do, J.R. Smith can be the hottest shooter on the court one night, and the next night he goes 0 for 14. That's just who he's been his entire career. And that's not my opinion. That's a fact. You go back and look at the stats. So we all know he's a very streaky shooter. He's not somebody you can rely on like last series to go for 20, 25 a game. It's just not realistic. And so I think a lot of the onus of the series is going to fall on LeBron James. LeBron James has got to be miles ahead the best player on the court. He's got to be the best rebounder. He's got to be the best point guard / passer. He's got to be the best finisher, best scorer, for them to have a shot. Because to me, the only way that the Cavaliers can win this game is for LeBron James to be the best player on the floor night in and night out. Because I just don't think that for 7 games, if it goes that you are going to be able to slow down the train that is the Golden State Warriors. I mean, you look at the teams that have tried. I mean, there's a reason why. I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies, we were praising them, hey, you know, they held them under 100, and they still eventually couldn't do it. Still eventually the wheels fell off. And I think they gave a blueprint, but once again, who's that guy that's going to exert all their energy on the defensive side of the ball to just basically lock down, you know, Klay Thompson or lock down Steph Curry? Who's going to be that guy? And that's where I think the Cavaliers are going to run into problems. You know, I know Shumpert's a great player, you know, defensively, you know, and I know LeBron can play some great defense. But once again, unless Irvin, you know, unless some of these other guys step up offensively and let LeBron go, okay, you know what, I have a little help. He can't play Steph Curry defense the entire game and then be expected to drop 40. It's just unrealistic. And you know that as well, Ty. So I just think it's going to be a tightly contested series. I think LeBron will do absolutely everything he can do to try and bring home a title to Cleveland. But ultimately, the team that hasn't won a title since 1975, the Golden State Warriors, are going to win the title. And once again, Mark Jackson is going to be sitting at home just saying how proud he is of his guys deserving another head coaching job.
Okay, this gets interesting. Nasser, your thoughts on what Brian has stated on the NBA Finals, your twist on how you think things could present themselves, at least out of the gate for now, because I can't wait to throw my twist at it. It's going to be very interesting. But before you do that, Brian, I know that they probably will put Shumpert out there, because Shumpert's length could actually bother Steph. Steph has a lethal crossover, but he's not that fast. And to be honest, I'd rather force Steph to the goal. Go to the hole. I'd rather see him run and do layups or float and so on and so forth than let him sit behind a three-point line and do what he does for a living. Like, there was somebody I was talking to back here in Connecticut said, Steph Curry's jump shot is like a slam dunk. Everybody knows it's you know, motivating, inspirational. They know that this is something that he's banking on. So I can't wait to put my twist on it. Nasser, your thoughts on this series, on how you think things could go down, also what Brian's introduced as well, with him throwing the situation where he thinks Cleveland could end up coming up short up against the Golden State Warriors in this NBA final.
You know, Brian pretty much hit everything on the head. I can't really disagree with much of what he said. LeBron's got to play lights out and guard all five players all the time. That's what he has to do to win this series. You just can't physically do that. You can't be in more than one place at the same time. So LeBron James, as great of a player as he is, the team around him is nowhere near the talent level as the team of the Warriors is going to bring at him. I do just have one guy that Brian didn't mention, and I just Harrison Barnes. I like him. I like the way he plays. I did like the fact that when Clay got kneed in the head, Harrison Barnes took over that game. He started making threes, taking it to the rack, and a little spurt there, you know, carried the Warriors to that little run that they had to solidify that victory. So I think when it comes to the Warriors, they just have it from all sides. Someone goes down, Steph Curry goes down, Klay Thompson goes off. Klay Thompson goes down, Harrison Barnes goes off. I'm sure we're going to see David Lee go off in this series one or two games. But this is the Warriors series to lose in my eyes. The only way they lose this series is by going 5 for 32, 4 for 30 from the 3-point land, not making anything. But if they're uncontested, like Brian just alluded to, it may even be a sweep. This may even be that bad. I do anticipate Cleveland winning one game, possibly even two, if it's really close. Like you said, we have seen LeBron guard Derrick Rose at the end of games, and high caliber point guards like of that nature, Russell Westbrook included, and totally shut them down. So I don't think he'll have to, you know, compete with him all game. But if they keep it close, then you're going to see LeBron James on Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. Whoever has the ball is probably going to be Steph. So Steph Curry at the end of the game, he's going to be on him. So unless one of those games gets real close and LeBron can D him up tight, get a steal, you know, secure a 1 or 2 point victory, then it might go 6. But I definitely see this being a 4-1 victory for the Warriors. Cleveland, for all they've done this year, for all the GMing LeBron has done and all the non-coaching Steve Blatt has done, they've gone very far in this Eastern Conference. So it's just going to be the Warriors celebrating and Mark Jackson, like Brian said. It's just a travesty what they did to that man. But the Warriors win this series. They just have too much talent all around, up and down the board. Cleveland's dealing with too much. And as great as a player LeBron is, he just can't guard all five players all the time. He may be able to take one player out of the game, but Warriors just have too much talent all around, especially even coming off their bench. So it's going to be a great series for Golden State and Oakland and how they feel out there. So the Warriors in 5.
Okay. Yeah, now,
real quick before you jump in, that's exactly the player I was thinking of, Harrison Barnes, so I appreciate that, Nacho. I kept saying Hudson, but it's Harrison. But, I agree with you. I think he has a great spark.
Now, interesting enough, now I know a good deal about LeBron, and it's not like a lot of people look at me here in Sports City and be like, Ty, you don't like LeBron. I love LeBron. I ain't going to sit here and act like I don't like the dude. I love LeBron. It is that in 2012, I had to make up my mind. It's not even a shortchange moment. I literally know which way I had to freaking go, and that was to go with my team, Oklahoma City Thunder, going up against these guys in the NBA Finals. But you guys cannot sit here and shortchanged LeBron James. Now, one, looking at their front court, I think their front court is actually better than the Golden State Warriors. That's right. I'm putting Mozgov Goff and Tristan Thompson. These two have been playing good ball up against Andrew Bogut and, you got Harrison Barnes there at the three, or Draymond Green, but Draymond Green up against LeBron. I mean, who are you going to take? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to give the edge to LeBron. So I'm pretty intrigued to see how this sweep may end up going down, or five games or six. LeBron is a baller himself. LeBron could get these guys in foul trouble. You have to think about what they present at the end of the day on Cleveland's side of the ball. This is all offensively driven on what Golden State can do shooting the ball. Now, interesting enough, if those jump shots present themselves for Cleveland on the defensive side playing up against Golden State, that's going to be trouble. But they know what they're up against. They have to guard that three-point line with their lives on the line. If they really think that they have to sit back and, you know, follow the basketball defensively, that's going to hurt them. But they know that they have to stay in Steph and Klay and Draymond's stomach and not leave these guys at all. No airspace. They're going to have to play them tight just like they did James Harden and not letting them get started, if anything. Like I said, I'd rather force these guys to the goal instead of letting these guys set up and put up some picture-perfect jump shots. That's not how it's going to go down. But before I put the full twist to it, we have a caller at Q calling in from the state of Virginia, Aaron Simmons. Welcome to the Brunch. How are you feeling this afternoon?
Yo, I'm going to jump right in here. I'm sitting here listening to these two gentlemen literally poo-poo on what the Cleveland Cavaliers present themselves. Let me throw some knowledge at you, gentlemen. First of all, the number one ranked defensive team in the NBA playoffs has been the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay, that's without Kevin Love. That's with, Kyrie Irving on one ankle. Y'all are totally disrespecting what the Cleveland Cavaliers bring to the table. This is talking about again. Not just like to the Golden State Warriors, because again, they deserve to be there. This is a ball club that, again, the stats speak for themselves. Steph Curry is that dude. Klay Thompson is that Robinson. To him being Batman. They do have a perennial starting five. And when you come up to visually Andrew Bubble, to Andrew Iguodala, you know, Charlie thing, they have a decent squad. But I'm not gonna sit here in this hot as balls D.C. area and listen to these gentlemen sit there and literally poo-poo on Iman Shumpert, how he's elevated his game, and J.R. Smith, how he's elevated his game, how Tristan Thompson is going to make himself a baller of money just for what he's done this postseason alone, disrespecting the whole regular season, just what he's done this postseason alone. This dude is about to get paid. Back up the brush truck, all the money, because he's going to get paid for that alone. The fact that, you know, LeBron James has seemed to get, you know, chicken salad on a chicken stretch is not the short spectacular. So for those people who don't understand the greatness and understand what's actually being done there, shame on you, okay? For those who actually think that LeBron James is going to win one game in the series, shame on you. This is a young, inexperienced team. I said this on Facebook several times. I was beating till my head falls off to win an NBA championship. You have to have mental toughness as well as actual ability. This is a baby squad coming into an NBA finals. Okay? They haven't been here before. Not one of them have been to this level of competition before. So not to mention you're going up against the greatest player on the planet at this time. I'm sorry, Kansas 6, if I'm wrong, all you got my Facebook, all you got my number, text me, blow my phone up, I don't give a rat's behind, but I'm totally disgusted right now of the notion that LeBron James is not going to get this done. I'm disgusted with it.
You know, all I have to say to that is, in the Super Bowl, I was rooting for the Patriots as well. You know, when my team lost, I took it as, you know, Seattle, you know, escaped it. So I get where you're at, Sirius. I understand. This is all emotion for you. Your team just got manhandled by this Warriors team, and you don't want to see them win a championship. I get it. But don't let that cloud it. You just said that this squad is mentally weak and took on your squad and just manhandled them, and your squad has multiple players that have been experienced in this playoffs that you're talking about, and two of them have been to the finals.
So how are you going to tell me that the Warriors are so inexperienced?
Hold on a second, Nacho. The fact that the Rockets lost to the Golden State Warriors has nothing to do with the
fact that they lost. It's not that they lost. It's how they lost.
So why did you have to bring that shit up? What happened in Houston has nothing to do with the reason why I'm disgusted.
It has everything to do with your opinion. To sit here and poo-poo on the Warriors that just matched your squad, that's the reason why you're taking the loss. Come on, don't let's be real with you. Let's be real with you.
Did I say anything bad about the Warriors? Not one time. Did I say a horrible squad? No, so I'm putting people on the line like they're a good team. No, what I am saying is I can't sit here and let you, Brian, or anybody else disrespect the greatness that is LeBron or what he's been able to do.
You didn't listen then. We didn't disrespect LeBron. We said LeBron had to be LeBron and be the greatest ever at every position, and he can't be every position. The team that you're looking at right now in the Cleveland Cavaliers, up and down, is nowhere near as talented as the Warriors. You want to take it position by position and work. But if you want to talk about LeBron James
being
every player on the Warriors,
What I'm saying is this, okay? You're disrespecting the fact that Amari Shumpert raised his level of play. You're disrespecting the fact that J.R. Smith raised his level of play. You're disrespecting the fact that Timothy Mozgov and that starting five has raised their level of play. You're disrespecting that. I'm not disrespecting the Warriors. I'm glad they're there. They were the better team.
This segment is brought by the Sports City Chefs and Aloe Dove Oil for the best of men.
I don't know what he just said, but that's what I was saying before. I really get pissed off. I can't understand how these gentlemen claim stuff that they know this game like they know this game and totally disrespect the level of basketball that we're about to see.
Okay, I've remained quiet during this entire time frame. I haven't said anything, and I'm coming in with a lower-toned voice, and you know what? I'm not mentioning that the Houston Rockets got smacked around. What I'm talking about is the finals. And so my question to you is, what did I say when I was providing my preview, my opinion, which everybody's entitled to, the same way you provided yours when you stepped into the kitchen, what did I say that was disrespectful to LeBron James? Because I said, in order for them to have a shot to win, he has to be the best player on the court night in and night out. Would you disagree with that?
Yes, and yes, to be LeBron James, which is the best player on the court, so yeah.
Okay, so basically what you're doing is you're agreeing exactly with what I said. Your stance is just you think that the role players that Cleveland has are better than what I believe they have. The bottom line is when you look at the playoffs, you look at round one, you look at the Western Conference. Golden State has went through the New Orleans Pelicans. We all know how good Anthony Davis is. We know how big he is. Everybody talks about size. Oh, the front court, like Ty said. You know, they ain't going to be able to stop this front court. Golden State's small. Okay, well, they took care of the Pelicans. Round two, they play the Grizzlies. Who do they have? Marc Gasol, Bebo, big guys down low. Once again, big forward. Big guys, and you know what? They still got out-rebounded. One of the best rebounding teams because this team has heart and they fight for every loose ball. And you said the best defensive team, they may be the best defensive team, quote-unquote, stat-wise in the playoffs, but the number one defense in the NBA was the Golden State Warriors, period. Then they played the Houston Rockets, your squad, which you know has another big man, and they did pretty damn well. My point is when you look at Cleveland outside of the Chicago series, and it took LeBron James hitting a couple last-second shots, who have they faced? The Celtics should not have even made the playoffs. They're a joke. And Atlanta, Atlanta limped into the Eastern Conference Finals. They have faced basically no competition to this point other than Chicago, and Chicago, let's be honest, Chicago imploded as much as Cleveland actually won that series. I mean, they really did. Chicago imploded, and we now know why. But if we're really being honest with ourselves, if we're really saying, you know, just looking at the paper, I'm not saying Shumpert's a bum. I'm not saying Thompson's a bum. I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving on one leg can't give you 12 to 15. But what I'm saying is, when you look at the up-and-down style that the Golden State Warriors are going to bring night in and night out on both the offensive and defensive side, they've already proven that throughout the year. Because as you mentioned, they're a young squad. They're going to bring it night in and night out. They're going to make you work for every basket. Can this team their bench is not as deep. I think we can all agree with that because they're banged up. Their bench is not as deep. You're going to ask guys like Thompson, guys like Shumpert, guys like Kyrie Irving, who's banged up, to play 30-plus minutes every single night. And once again, like I said, this is going to be a battle of attrition. I'm not saying game one, if Cleveland comes out and beats them, that you know, everybody's going to be like, see what I told you? I'm saying in a seven-game series, having to play at that pace over seven games, you cannot expect LeBron James to do it all by himself. And as you know, as an NBA fan, hold on. And as you know, as an NBA fan, J.R. Smith is one of the streakiest shooters in the NBA. One week he's on, the next week he can't hit the broadside of a barn. So if he's on, great. But you can't expect Thompson to give you 20 points every single night. You know what? Dwight Howard struggled. I mean, let's be honest. Dwight Howard struggled to score against this defense because they are a help defense. When he got the ball down low, what would they do? Immediately they collapse. They're not going to leave Bogut on him one-on-one and just say, hey, you know, go to work. That's why I think this whole, you know, oh, they're better in the low post. You know, they're better at power forward. They're better at small forward. They're better at center. Let's be honest. The Golden State Warriors have been outmanned at that position at every single series in this playoff. Whether you're talking about versus the Pelicans, whether you're talking about versus the Grizzlies, whether you're talking about versus the Houston Rockets. But you know what? They find a way to win. Yeah, I'm done. Go for it.
Okay, so basically what you're telling me is this, okay? Because they were outmanned and found a way to win, that's going to happen with the greatest player on the planet.
No, basically what I'm saying is just because you're better at a position doesn't mean that you're going to win the series. Basically, what I'm saying is once again, it's a battle of attrition. Every one of these series, outside of the Pelicans, went five or six games. And you know what? Just like we've seen with Houston in the last game, just like we've seen with the Grizzlies in the last game, you know what? They eventually just get gassed out. And that's the way they look. They all look tired. And Golden State still looks fresh. And all of a sudden, Steph Curry now has 3 or 4 feet to get off that three-pointer as opposed to having somebody right in his face. And that's all I'm saying. I think when you're looking over the long term, seven games, I think it would be really difficult for Cleveland to match the intensity that Golden State is going to bring night in and night out. That's all I'm saying.
I just agree with you on that. I just agree with you there. 100%, but again, we can take up the whole show talking about this because, I mean, I'm going to, so I'm going to back out, but I disagree with you there.
And that's okay, serious. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. That's why it's a preview. It hasn't happened. I'm not Nostradamus. I don't have a crystal ball, but that's what I believe is going to be the deciding factor in this game, is the fact that LeBron James has had to play more minutes than he's had in the past due to the fact that the team is riddled with injuries, the fact that Tristan Thompson has had to play more minutes than he had to play during the regular season, the fact that these guys have put in a lot more work, and then you're going up against the A-train, which is the Golden State Warriors, and they shoot the ball from anywhere. Once they step over half court, you have to guard them. This isn't a team where it's like, okay, if we guard the paint, we're good. You know that. So you're basically, once you step over half court, you have to be in full defense mode for the entire game. And I just think that's a lot to ask for seven-game series.
Look, for City, the flame is back, man. The caller number is 917-889-9592. Now, here's my twist to the situation. Now, I think only problem I have at any position is at the two-guard position because I want to see how Clay is going to be after that concussion situation to see if he is rocky or rattled. He's going to get fouled. Depending on if he gets hit hard, he was leaking blood from his head. Like, once you lose blood from the face or, you know, head area, as in boxing, you get dizzy. People don't know that. People, they get dizzy once they lose blood. So he's coming around on a 5-6 day stint of having to rest. He's going to have to go through shoot around and be ready for this, knowing that they are in the comfort of the confines of the Oracle and knowing how loud that's going to get. I think that can motivate him. But, you know, Shumpert is going to have to play defense on either Steph or Klay. I think he more than likely they're going to have to switch him up and put him on. I think it'd be better if they keep him with Klay, because Klay's actually a bigger guard for Kyrie. They can't switch that. So they're going to have Kyrie stay with Steph for the duration of the game. Kyrie's going to have to stay with, you know, shoulder to shoulder with Steph. He can't let him get that airspace by any means. I think if Draymond doesn't get in foul trouble, if these refs don't get involved, this is going to be critical at the end of the day. This is going to be something to see. But I think if they either have Draymond or Iguodala on LeBron, these guys can end up getting in foul trouble or not staying in front of this guy. That is going to be something that they have to watch. And then they're going to have to start trying to tooling guys off of that bench. So that is something that they're going to have to worry about. Like, everybody's putting all of the onus on what the Splash Brothers present. You have to worry about what LeBron is presenting, too. Like, the Cleveland Cavaliers have actually went in there and took games from Golden State. Well, LeBron is actually going in there, not Cleveland, because Cleveland actually lost this year going into the Oracle. But he knows what it takes to go up against this team. I think the front court edge actually goes with Cleveland. I truly do. I think Bogut actually stepped up in at least one or two games in that last series, but he's been a no-show, and all of the attention that they give Bogut, I think Mozgov could actually get him in foul trouble or actually canceling him out. And the way Tristan Thompson has actually been playing ball, he's setting himself up for a big payday. He really is. So I think this is an interesting debate, whether people side with Golden State or people side with Cleveland at the end of the day. I'm going to be honest, I don't know which team to go with. I don't know if you want to go with a heavy offense that's going to get you more than 104 points a game, or, you know, side with LeBron, who's been to the NBA Finals 5 straight years in a row. Like, he knows what it is to get here. This is uncharted waters for the Golden State Warriors. This organization has not been to the NBA Finals in 40 years. In 40 years, and this is a first-time coach. I mean, not taking too much away from Steve Kerr. David Blatt, this is his first year coaching the NBA, but he's actually won championships overseas, so he knows what it is to coach. This is Steve Kerr actually picking up the vehicle, if you will, just like Brian alluded to earlier, from Mark Jackson. They basically gave him the keys to the Lamborghini and said, drive, and all he needed was an instruction manual to shift gears. That's all it was. So this is a very interesting situation looking at it, but this is one heck of a flame brought between this debate. I must say, the brunch is back. The brunch is literally back. Anything else that you guys like to twist, whether looking at either side of the fence for these guys? I might have to put a little time on the board for us, too. But anything that I said Nacho, I know that you actually had to let, you know, Brian and Sirius get at it. Anything that you'd like to say also?
You know, I cleared my wind. I got a little fiery. Cleared my wind, though. What I had to say is what I had to say. We're going to agree to disagree on this as we see. And then, like Brian said, this is just a preview of how we feel. We'll know how it goes down come June 4th. So I'm just excited that we have a fiery debate over these finals, because I thought it might not be fiery at all.
Okay. Sirius or Brian, anybody else like to allude to anything before we get away from it?
Go ahead, Sirius. Ladies first.
No, I'm good.
Look, Sports City, look, this is what I'm talking about. Sports City, this is what I love about the kitchen. I'm telling you, when you leave the kitchen and they get you thinking about it, or you are heated about what goes down in the kitchen, it's a good show. I just care less on how you feel. I'm sorry. I think this is a good show. So, with that being said, I know these brothers need to get their cool on. Go get some water, fellas. Go get some cool water on me. If y'all want me to, I'll send y'all bottles of water wherever y'all are, because I love y'all like that, man. But an excellent show. If y'all missed it, y'all need to rewind this show back about 20, 30 minutes. Flame all in this kitchen. I'm still trying to clean out the smoke. Oh my goodness! I'm Telling you, man. Okay, so let me get closed off for each year. Excellent work, man. And y'all better tell us for real. Y'all, I'm not playing around. Y'all better tell us for real. Serious, I'll start with you. Give me a plug. Close out anything that you'd like to promote as we shut down the butt today on a Sunday afternoon.
Yo, man, shout out to everybody, man. Don on the Charles Love, man. It's your boy Serious up in that 412 and the 703. Also, I'm sure y'all touched on it. Shout out to Alvin Gentry, man, getting that Pelicans job. That's going to be a good look for him. You know, I think, you know, they may have picked the right guy for that position. I'm pretty sure you guys touched on that earlier. I'm not too sure if that hit the baseball topic, but the story out here in the Metro, you know, Worth is gone till August. Strasburg on the DL and Bryce may hit the DL. So there's crazy stuff going on here in the Metro. Other than that, man, I will catch up with you guys when I can, man. Have a good evening.
Definitely, man. Y'all stay tuned, man.
And by the way, shout out to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I forgot to give that to you.
No doubt. You so mad at it, so that's good.
I can deal with it, man.
I ain't trying to cut you off. Look, you do what you need to do, man. I ain't trying to get in your way, man. You out of church too? I'm straight, man. You can do what you need to do, man. I ain't trying to fight, man. I woke up this morning. Got myself a gun. All right, you too. Nacho, give me a plug. Close out anything that you like to promote as we shut down the brunch here in the Sunday morning brunch.
You know, at Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's been a crazy morning. Interesting. It's really early out here on the West Coast, and it's already hot. But just want to thank everyone for letting me get my opinion and shouting the way I shouted today. And if you didn't watch it on Friday night, there was Khan Algieri. Some may say that solidified Mayweather-Khan in September. I say I hope it doesn't happen. We all saw Khan hugging and going at it. He had to fight because Chris Algieri, who I didn't anticipate, was the aggressor in the fight. Also Saturday night, Carlos Condit on U.S. Fight Night got it in with some elbows. That I'm not a big Carlos Condit fan. I'm just glad to see him back from an injury and doing well. Always glad to see any athlete come back from an injury, especially an injury like an ACL, and come back and excel at the sport you're playing. And so good luck to him and the UFC and Carlos Condit. Great fight last night. Great fight last night. Again, boxing's not dead. Can't wait. We have Cotto in a couple weeks. I know the food fight will be back on Saturday. Had some scheduling problems this week, especially no big fights on Saturday. So that's going on. And, you know, just again, thank you guys for letting me come on, Nacho in the Box. You guys are great. Brian, Sirius, Ty, you guys are awesome.
That elbow Condit smashed Alvin's nose with, oh, my goodness. And then that way that nose looked at the end of the second round. People, if you did not see it, YouTube it. Disgusting stuff. Just let me just tell you that. And also, by the way, Amir Khan, I understand that you want a payday. That's all I'm looking at. You won a payday. You did not look impressive against Algieri. And this is something before I give it to Brian. If Floyd beats Khan, people are going to be like, well, he's not even the boxer to be in the ring with Floyd. And now they're actually throwing out a situation that he's running from Kell Brook. So you already know what time it is. Don't nobody want no part of Kell Brook because he's the heavy hitter in the division. Believe me, he's boxing and he packs a punch. But then, I gotta say that for the food fight, man. I'm putting shows in the
Ty.
Shows. I got flame going around. Yes, sir.
Ty, just real quick, I have to say this: two names, one fight. Thurman Brook. That's it. That's all I'll say. Food fight. When we get back, we'll have to talk about that.
Right. We've set this up. We gave y'all a preview, Sports City. We should have been doing our thing, Sports City. We'll be back. Trust me. Mr. Hughes, I need a closeout, plug, promo, anything you like to hear as we shut down the Sunday morning brunch.
Well, as you know, sportscitychefs.com. Check out the website, player interviews, blogs. We get after it here in the kitchen, you know, through some bows. Sirius's nose got busted up, kind of like Alvis. He looked like Ray Brower from Stand By Me. But you know, that's how we do it here in the kitchen. Hey, I just want to say, you know, LeBron, I know you listen to the show. You know I still love you, man. Just remember the Lakers, we're going to hire Tom Thibodeau. We're going to keep Byron Scott on as an assistant. We're going to have over $60 million next year. We're going to pick up Moutier or Russell in the draft, have a real point guard, so you ain't got to do that. So just come to L.A. Just come to L.A. so you ain't got all the pressure on you. You know, we'll put some talent around you. We got Randall. We'll get some guys for you. Just come on over.
Look at people begging, man. This is terrible, man. They come to the kitchen, start fights, throw plates, and then they start begging as they promote it. Man, Sports City, I don't even know what to do, man. I can't deal with it no more, man. I'm actually mixing shows up. I got tongue tied, and people trying to throw a side shot as they walk out of the kitchen. But I can deal with it, man. I still got to deal with this New York area anyway because the Rangers went down. But that's cool. That's cool. Still trying to throw that one in. But we beat his Pittsburgh Penguins, and we beat his Washington Capitals on our way to the Eastern Conference Final. You do the math. That boy was waiting for something to happen to the Rangers. Hey, SportsCityShows.com, Brian already let y'all know how the website go down, man. I love when he do it because I can do it too. Give you the double promotion if you know what I am. SportsCityShows.com, check out the website. Yes, sir.
Hey, I got to put this in, man, because it's killing me. You know, I can't help but feel like Sirius is one of those fair weather fans that just pick whatever team's doing well at the time. He likes the Washington Capitals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New York Yankees, and the Houston Rockets. Things that make you go,
I'm not saying nothing.
All I'm saying is, and if a year or two he starts talking about how he's always been a New England Patriots fan, we're going to know what's up.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying nothing. All I'm doing in my defense is he tried to say, shout out to Tampa Bay Lightning. I know that the two teams that he, where I'm from, you can't have two teams. Point blank period. If you're from the Connecticut area, the rule is one team only. So, him with the Pirates, the Penguins and the Capitals are enough. And let alone, he's a Rockets fan, but he's siding with Cleveland like crazy. And he's always sided with LeBron altogether. Things that make you go home. I'm chilling. Sports City, I'm chilling. I don't even want to sit here and throw shots at him because he jumped out of the kitchen as soon as he did his thing because I know he didn't want to hear anybody close out. He's mad. Like I said, people go get their feelings here in the kitchen. This is food for thought. Y'all do these dishes, man. If you can't take the heat, he did what he needed to do. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I'll be back here tomorrow, Monday night, sport, wrapping this thing up, man. Excellent show, at least to me. I feel like this is great because people are caught up in their feelings, and that fire got to their back. So on that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City chef with Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
Kick back, relax, enjoy this everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts,